Who share their wisdom even when they themselves feel that like they're walking in darkness.
You see mothers who all their love even abides out of affection for their children, which may never be appreciated or reciprocated. You give an artist, a free artist, everything for his masterpiece, relentless, everything to help others.
And consistently we find that when somebody gives out of their poverty due to a spirit of sacrifice, inner resources which would otherwise not be known are revealed. Because it's when we draw from the depths of our being, from our deepest resources, holding back nothing for ourselves, that we find a wealth and sweetness of reciprocation that would otherwise never be known, because it's beyond the realm of imagination and expectation, as we find in this Dhammadhar-lila. And the source of the treasure is in the wellspring of bhakti in Goloka. So, we know the story, and different commentators like Jiva Goswami have added various realms of illumination to the pastime. Mother Yashoda, churning butter, and Krishna came and held the churning rod. You're not going to churn any more butter because I'm hungry. And he also held her sari. So she was captive. She began feeding Krishna. The milk which she was boiling on the stove was special milk, because Mother Yashoda was wondering why we have so much wealth in our palace, especially in terms of dairy products. Why does Krishna always have to go out and steal from the neighbors? It must be that our milk is not good enough. So Mother Yashoda personally cultivated one meadow where the grass was called Padmaganda, because it was so specially sweet and fragrant and tasty. She personally cultivated that grass for a select few cows in Nanda Maharaja's herd, which she also personally cared for. And those cows gave her the best milk, which Mother Yashoda was boiling on the stove. As she churned, while singing songs of Krishna, Krishna's wonderful pastimes from the days before. And the Acharyas emphasize how we should meditate on Mother Yashoda. She's churning. And Krishna's taking the churning rod and holding her sari. Like, nothing's more important than feeding me. But as she's feeding him, and that very precious milk, which she in her humility is thinking is better than my milk, but that milk was thinking, Mother Yashoda's milk is so much better that what's the use of my life, and I might as well just commit suicide, so it jumped into the fire. From which we have the saying, out of the frying pan into the fire, which devotees sometimes experience. And then Mother Yashoda jumped up, attended the milk, Krishna got upset, broke the pot, Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport, when she saw the butter footprints, she concluded that this is the work of Krishna. There is no doubt about it. So she followed. Now Krishna was afraid because he had this treasure in terms of the butter that he stole. So he was thinking that the crows and the monkeys and he might. So he turned upside down the grinding mortar so he'd be a little bit higher up. But he was scoping the scenery for his escape route. While he's feeding the monkeys in reciprocation to Ram Lila, he was thinking, they sacrificed everything for me, and I had no butter for them. I had no anything for them. Now, I have butter to show this best butter to reciprocate the monkeys' tremendous sacrifice in Ram Lila. So he was so happy feeding the monkeys. But he was looking around in great anxiety. Behind him, you see, is she coming? And in front of him, you see, where's my escape route? So, this part of the pastime leads into a realm which the greatest self-realized souls, Queen Kunti, Bhishma Dev, when they contemplate and narrate, continually repeat, this is bewildering. And Srila Prabhupada says that it's not that they're bewildered, that's just their way of expressing their wonder that he who cannot be captured by the best pursuits and endeavors of the most perfected mystics and yogis and munis and tapasvis is not only captured, not only scolded, but he's confessing to Mother Yashoda, yes, I'm a criminal. He's making a plea bargain. If you throw away the stick, I'll tell you the answer to your question, which is, why do you go steal from the neighbors? He who is fearful to fear personified, fearful to death personified, fearful to time personified, is trembling in fear of Mother Yashoda. And when she asks him why, all he can say is, put down that stick and then I'll tell you. And then she realized, I just wanted to scare him, but he's terrified. And she was thinking, I was so cruel, so she threw away the stick. And then she thought, well, I have my duties to perform. He's always getting in trouble, so I must bind him. So we know the story. However many ropes she tied together, he was still too short. Until Krishna saw that her endeavor was causing her to perspire. And she was getting fatigued. And he allowed himself to be tied. He, who has no beginning and no end, no interior, no exterior, no front, no rear, no past, no future, who is all-pervading, who is beyond the reach of cause and effect, of karma, beyond the perception of the intellect, mind, and senses. He was bound around the rake, the waist, that Mother Yashoda. But he didn't make it easy, because he was thinking, I can't be bound. I have important duties to perform, like feeding the monkeys and playing with my friends. So he was thinking like that. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that at this point, Krishna's opulences are beginning to manifest. His opulence of vibhuti, meaning that whatever he desires becomes reality. And his satya sankalpa, whatever he says, comes true. He was saying to himself, I can't be bound. I have to feed the monkeys and play with my friends. These are important duties. I cannot be bound. And he wasn't being bound for a long time and with a lot of rope. But then he saw the flowers are falling from Mother Yashoda's hair. She's perspiring. She's exhausted. That evoked his Kripa Shakti, his mercy. And when that energy makes her appearance, it illumines, it eclipses, and it makes visible, invisible, his other Shaktis. So his Vibhuti Shakti and his Sati Sankalpa, I will not be bound, they became eclipsed by this Kripa Shakti. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes further to say that when Krishna was trembling and he was fearful, it's not a performance, it's not a play. And if you think it's just Leela, you're in illusion, because Krishna is actually experiencing fear. And in the competition between the Lord and his devotees, he delights most in being defeated. So when that Kripa Shakti prevails, illuminating, eclipsing, and making invisible his other opulences, it also melts Krishna's heart and turns it into butter. And all his other opulences, energies, and potencies disappear. Tonight we're entering, we're crossing the threshold into the month of Kartik, named after Kartik, the daughter of Kirtita. It is the king of all months, and the queen is Srimati Radharani. This is the month we observe some of his sweetest pastimes, like Damodar Leela, Govardhan Puja. Next week is Bahulastri, the appearance of the bittersweet festival of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance after the loving tension amongst his disciples when he said, we must go on parikrama. And about half the devotees were saying, we must honor his words. The others said, how can we take him on parikrama? The road is so bad, so frail. In that loving tension, the devotees were, they came into Srila Prabhupada's room one night when Srila Prabhupada was at Babaji Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada, this is just driving me crazy, this conflict about you going. If anybody wants you to go out, it's me, but why in this condition, why now? It's just driving us crazy. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, I shouldn't do that, so we won't go. They turned to Babaji Maharaj. He said, just see how much they love me. And then Srila Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, it's my, and Srila Prabhupada said, we love you so much, it's making us mad. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's my duty. He wanted to go for a picnic on Govardhan Hill for a Govardhan Puja when he couldn't even sit up in bed. It caused such a loving tension amongst his devotees. But that's what Krishna does. And that's what his devotees do on behalf of Krishna. To redirect our affections from the illusions of this world to their proper source in Krishna. This is also the day that Krishna returned from Mathura to Braj. So it's just about this time that just before the sun was setting, late afternoon, horizon, in the horizon. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, the dust arising from the hooves and the calves, from the hooves of the calves and the calves on the horizon indicates that Krishna's returning home. And thus, the pastimes and the mysteries. And he said, and also the intricacies of Krishna's pastimes are covered with a similar kind of darkness which makes them impossible for mundane scholars, even of the Vedas, to understand. Because they can only be understood properly by commercial of a Vaishnava. So when the gopas saw, other than the dust from the hooves of the cows and calves, there was a dust cloud rising on the horizon. They saw a chariot. And who's that? They haven't seen the chariot since Akura left. They're looking. And then the wind changed direction. And those cows caught the fragrance of Krishna's transcendental form. And they went mad. And the gopas could not control them. The cows just ran for the chariot. And the gopas are thinking, could it be? Uddhava, by our request, promised he would bring Krishna back. Is it? And the cows surrounded the chariot, and they're rocking it back and forth. And Krishna got off and embracing the cows, asking them, oh, mothers, did you miss me as much as I missed you? And then they go, it is. Uddhava is a true hero. He has brought Krishna back. So they brought him through many episodes to the palace. They couldn't get him to go in the palace to take prasadam because Krishna was just looking over the cows and the Vrijavasis. They didn't want to go inside. Mother Jashoda took him by the hand and effortlessly took him inside. And then everyone who was offering garlands or offering prasad were offering to Mother Jashoda and Krishna simultaneously. Even Nanda Maharaj was worshipping Mother Jashoda along with Krishna because nobody can control him like this. Why? Because of her excessive maternal affection. So for 1 month, throughout Kartik, Krishna and Uddhava stayed in Braj. Krishna spent the nights and midday with the gopis, dusk and dawn with his parents, morning and afternoon with the gopas, herding the cows again through the forest. And Vrindavan forest, which had been like a wasteland ever since Krishna departed, became again like a festive paradise. Everything burst into colorful bloom. And even the wind seemed to be chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama, which means, O Lord, how can I please you? So every night, Krishna danced with the gopis, beginning with his Sharad Purnima Asa Lila. And every night he would disappear from the Rasa Lila to increase the gopis' ecstasy of separation. Until the last full moon night at the close of Kartik, when Krishna disappeared, like every other night, he searched everywhere, asking every tree and creeper and deer and peacock, have you seen Krishna? He didn't return. When the sun rose, Mother Jashoda searched the palace, Nanda Maharaj searched Nandadam. Was it a dream that Krishna came back? They were always thinking, Did someone come on a chariot and take away Krishna? No, it was a bad dream. Don't even think about it. Did Krishna return? It must have just been a dream. Because where is he? Now, Krishna is always living and returning, and the Vrijavasis lose track what is real and what is dream. The only thing that's for sure is he forever, without fail, appears in their thoughts. When those thoughts are imbued with sufficient love for him. So, preceding the month in which Krishna is the presiding deity, next month is Kartik, the month of Damodara, in which Srimati Radharani is the presiding deity. And everything done during this month should be with the aim and desire of attracting her mercy. Which comes through the mercy of Sri Guru, especially by means of Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam, regarding those places which are blessed by the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika and Krishna. Why is this month so important, so special, so sweet? Because it is only by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, which comes through the mercy of Parampara, that we can attain Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his songs is very emphatic that without the mercy of Srimati Radharani and her representatives, we cannot meet Krishna. But you can think, well, Krishna is there in the battlefield with Arjuna. But Krishna is not as complete as he is in the form of the Yugalakishora, the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. There only is he most complete. So this month is dedicated to the pleasure of Srimati Radharani. And those activities which give impetus to developing the proper consciousness for attaining that eternal perfection which Rupa Goswami recommends following in the footsteps of the Vrijavasis, especially the gopis. Now that explanation warrants a little explanation, because people in this world are very attracted to the extent of becoming intrigued and bewildered by romantic pastimes. And this is the lowest reflection, because in reflection, what is highest in reality becomes the lowest. So the romance of Krishna, which is the highest intimacy and expression of sacrifice and surrender, when reflected in the material world, becomes the lowest, most abominable affair, which is the source of so much pain, anguish, bondage, and madness. And therefore, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna must only be heard from a proper source, like Shukadeva Goswami, the four Kumaras, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those who have no interest in anything of this world. And even the gopis' love for Krishna appears as if they're attracted to Krishna because they want to enjoy Krishna. But the acharyas are forever informing us that they have no tinge of desire for their own pleasure. Their only desire is Krishna's pleasure. Now, if you want to please someone, you act as if their association is giving you pleasure. It's just common decency. But it's misleading if we try to understand the relationship between the Vrijavasis and Krishna based on our own experience in this world. What the gopis have to teach us is how to abandon our independent existence in order for His grace and fullest mercy to be bestowed. As we approach Krishna, He reciprocates and reveals Himself accordingly. As we hold back from surrendering to Krishna, He holds back and reveals Himself to us. And thus Srila Prabhupada continually remarks, you know, like when the gopis are, you know, quoting Bhagavad Gita, which they hadn't read because it didn't exist yet. But they know everything. They know because they have the fullest realization of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada is very inclined to remind us of Krishna's headache, which he said could only be relieved by the dust of the feet of his devotees. And when Narada Muni approached different devotees requesting the dust of their feet to put on Krishna's head, they all refused. We go to hell for that. Forever. Krishna told them, ask the gopis. And in great eagerness, they gave him the dust of their feet, and he asked, do you know the consequences of putting this dust on Krishna's head? And they said, of course. Eternal hell and suffering. But if that gives Krishna just even instantaneous relief and pleasure, then that destination would be our greatest pleasure and honor. Similar is the consequences of Rasa Lila. It's not like this world where, you know, anybody can go and dance and it's just socially acceptable. For some young unmarried girls and some other married girls to leave home in the middle of the night in cultured society means they will be rejected by their family, condemned by their culture, evicted from their village, branded as shameful, labeled as a disgrace to their family and village, society and culture, and they would have no shelter, no protection, no sustenance. Just a reputation of disgrace, branded as unchaste, which is worse than death to a cultured lady. But on this night, Shara Purnima, when Krishna played that fifth note of his flute, and they understood he's calling us to be enjoyed by him, all their worldly duties faded, and they left. Except for those who were forcefully restrained and gave up their lives in the fire of separation to enter into Krishna's lila in that way. It is sacrifice and surrender that gives a pleasing flavor to our chanting, our service, our cooking, our anything we offer to Krishna. And therefore, we follow in the footsteps of the Vrijavasis, not by artificially meditating on being Mother Jashoda or an assistant to Mother Jashoda, premature to qualifying ourselves by sacrifice, surrender, and tapasya. That is our initial footsteps on the path. It was after seeing Krishna holding an overnight hill with a little finger in his left hand for a week that the Brijavasis approached Nanda Maharaj with a serious doubt. They said, on the one hand, how is it that we are feeling ever-increasing attraction and attachment for Krishna, more so than our own children, more than anyone? That was one wonder, but more wonderful, how is it that Krishna is feeling ever more attraction and attachment to us? We're not his parents. And they were, you know, talking about all his wonderful leelas that they've observed thus far, thinking that it appears that he's not an ordinary child, because, you know, in the beginning, you know, Rakshasi Putana, you know, listing all this, and now, you know, holding this mountain with his pinky on the left hand for a week. These are not the pastimes of an ordinary child. So they were thinking, this is wonderful, but more wonderful is our ever-increasing attachment to him, and more wonderful that is his ever-increasing attachment for us. So we're really wondering about your son. He said, don't worry, just remember Gargamuni's words. He's as good as Narayana. And let all your doubts be dispelled, O coward men. He's as good as... And they concluded, he must be empowered by Narayana. But that wouldn't explain the ever-increasing bond of attachment and affection. When the gopis approached him on this night, he said, what are you doing? This forest is dangerous, filled with ferocious animals. And you have so many duties back at home to perform, so just return. And they answered that, Krishna, you are the life of all life, the soul of all souls, the root of all existence. And satisfying you, in satisfying you, all our duties are fulfilled. All our obligations are perfected. Because Krishna is the source of everything that anyone else is providing. So pleasing him is watering the root of all existence, which distributes its sustenance to all parts and parcels. They explain to Krishna, in you everything resides. Without you, everything is simply illusion, bondage, suffering, and attachment. So, their desire to please Krishna is so sincere, so deep, and so sweet that this night Krishna expanded into a night of Brahma lasting millions and billions of years. But they thought it passed too quickly. And as Mahaprabhu and his associates, they cursed the sun when it rose in the morning. After the kirtans and srinasangam, the devotees were disappointed when after one night, which Krishna expanded into 8.64 billion years, it just passed like a flash. And because the Brijavasis were so surrendered to Krishna, it would naturally only turn to him in danger. If we're not really surrendered to Krishna, if we're not really sacrificing to Krishna, And when danger comes, we will seek the shelter of so many fallible soldiers. When Indra summoned his subarctic clouds, which are reserved exclusively for the dissolution of the universe, to demonstrate the inferiority of this principle of the utilitarian concept, that is desirable, which leads to the collective good of society. And Krishna wanted to refute that with the philosophy that the most important and uplifting thing to all the world is what is pleasing to him, as in watering the root of the tree. Krishna appeared to demonstrate the higher law, superior to the universal law, the law of spiritual love, which alone the Vaishnavas prefer, if, as a consequence of following, it results in the destruction of the whole world, which it appeared it would do, as those clouds begin gathering on the horizon and speeding across, and it looked like the end of the world. And how did the Vrijabhasis approach Krishna? Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhago, please save your cows. This is a very important principle. If we want to please Krishna, our prayers, our desires, our services should not be for our own benefit, but should be for the upliftment and enlightenment of others. We used to hear preaching of a concept called transcendental competition, which means you compete with your god brothers and god sisters to see who can accumulate more for Krishna. It's not what it means. Transcendental competition means whoever can best please and serve Krishna, you become the servant of their servant. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example of two sons massaging the father, each wanting to get his favor. So they're massaging their side very nicely, the other side they're pinching. And what is the result? It's just painful to the father. It's not pleasing. The Vaishnava approach is you become invisible and serve so nicely that the other person gets all the credit. But won't I be neglected? The omniscient Father knows who's serving humbly with an attitude to please. The Vaishnava attitude is never to put yourself first. And when Mahaprabhu is hearing the requests and prayers of his devotees, and Vasudeva Dutt prayed that let all the sins and all the suffering begin these years fall upon my head and let me go to hell so that they can be delivered. He said, this is not astonishing because you are Prahlad Maharaj, so magnanimous. But if that is your desire that they be delivered, they will be. But you won't have to suffer the consequences, because Krishna hears the prayers of his devotees who put others first before themselves. As far as you having to suffer the consequences, Krishna will protect you from that. And when Maharaj Pratapruta was receiving the special favor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a kind of mercy, unprecedented, with the devotees, comparing, they were just happy to see others receiving the mercy. This is Vaishnava. And simply by being happy to see others receiving the favor of Guru and Krishna, you yourself make advancement. But most of all, this is what pleases Krishna the most. Seeking others' benefit and welfare and recognition before your own, that pleases Krishna. Gopis were glorifying Govardhan Hill as the best of all devotees. Why? Of all the devotees, this Govardhan is the best, because this hill provides Krishna and Balaram, as well as all the cows, calves, and cowherd friends, with all their necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass for the cows, caves to hide in, fruits and vegetables for sustenance. Govardhan Hill, warm in the winter, cool in the summer. It's pleasing and serving the devotees so nicely that Krishna is so happy. So, to attain residence in Vrindavan, to have actual darshan, realization, and understanding of Krishna as he is, requires the mercy of Srimati Radharani, which is most prominent in her month, Kartik, and devotional activities are 1,000 times enhanced, which our acharyas emphasize, for which purpose we contemplate and visit and glorify those places blessed by the dust of the lotus feet of the divine couple. And it is only there where we find the most complete manifestation, shelter, protection of Krishna. This principle is most beautifully portrayed in the Leela of Raghunath Das Goswami, who, as the sole heir of a very wealthy father and uncle, who were like billionaires, according to today's calculation. But he kept running off, trying to attain the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His mother asked his father, "Why don't you chain him up? Bind him with chains." His father, having a little bit more insight, says he already has a wife more beautiful than an angel, riches greater than Indra, guards watching over him. These things cannot restrain him. What will chains do? He's become attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and nothing can stop him. So when he finally escaped and practically ran all the way to Jagannath Puri, where he was placed in the care of Sri Damodar, in watching Mahaprabhu's loving exchanges with the devotees, his attraction by jumping from Govardhan Hill. But there, Rupa and Sanatan showered so much loving affection upon him, it restored his hope and desire to live. When Sanatan Goswami left this world, he was thinking, everyone I cling to like columns sustaining my spiritual life are leaving one by one. They took shelter at Radha Kund, exclusive shelter, praying, Srimati Ji, now I've lost Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar, Gadadhar Pandit, Sanatana Goswami, to take exclusive shelter of your Kund. Please protect me. When he heard that Rupa Goswami had left this world, he was thinking, where is hope to be found now? And he, as such a perfect poet, in his last prayer, expressed his final desire, Srimati Ji, I am yours. I am yours only. For emphasis, he wanted her to hear him say it twice. Because of all devotees, Srimati Radharani is most dear to Krishna. Similarly, her kund is most dear to Krishna. And in a sense, is not different from her, as in a sense, the holy name is not different from Krishna. There is a difference in mercy. The holy name and Radha Kund are accessible to us in tangible form. And that mercy is most prevalent this month. And therefore we take shelter in the prayers of Satyavati Muni to cultivate his sentiment that these childhood pastimes of Damodar be forever and continually reenacted in our hearts. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.